Welcome to the ABCs of Horses, a Big Blend radio podcast featuring Christy Wood, a world champion horse trainer, a carded horse show judge, an equestrian expert, and an author. Welcome, everybody, today on the ABCs of Horses, our third episode with Christy Wood. We are talking about caring habits, specifically colic. That's a big deal when it comes to horse care. Even when we had our horses, I knew that that was a big deal, and it was something that you really were nervous about. But we want to say the C word of care and go to that specifically and just do an overview of something as a horse owner, what you should be aware of. So welcome back, Christy, to your show. How are you?
Thank you, Lisa. I'm very good. Thank you.
So caring habits. I know you and I were started talking about caring and we're like, well, we're doing the whole alphabet again, because that's what the whole show is really about, care and then communication, right? That's another good C word.
That's right.
But care and just some basic tips for especially new horse owners, or I should say horse parents, right? Pet parents, horse, you know,
yes,
I don't know what is the correct lingo?
Well, you can be a pet parent to a horse as well, but they're awfully large pets.
they're not going to be sleeping in your basement. Well, you never know, but
it's called horse care. Just horse care. Horse sense. Let's talk about horse sense and horse care.
So what are some general things that, especially new equestrians, because here's the thing, you may go out and finally go, okay, I've been taking riding lessons and now I'm finally going to get a horse, and you get a horse and maybe it's not on your property and it's at a stable. And I know that's another podcast, but shouldn't you be aware also what goes into the care of a horse at a stable? What is your responsibility versus maybe the stable that you're leasing from? And it may be different than what you're doing at home too.
Well, so yes, let's talk just briefly about the generalization of care of horses. Whether it's the horses in your backyard or if the horse is being boarded, you need to, when you arrive with your horse and you hand it over to somebody else that's going to care for it, you should have a list of things that they will also be watching out for and caring for your horse. So just don't leave it to assume that the boarding stable person knows what to do. There's many facets of a boarding stable. There could be someone that cleans stalls, or someone that feeds, and then the person that really is in charge of observing and taking care of that horse during the day. So you just need to actually have this printed out or written out what you sort of expect and you hope that they will provide for you if you're boarding. But your care of your horse, generally speaking, in your own backyard and now that you've welcomed into your family, is we have to be taking care of our horse with worming throughout the year, some yearly shots. Their teeth need to be checked every year. We need to clean their hooves on a regular basis, and of course, body grooming. So that's sort of a general idea of what you need to do when you have a horse in their general care.
And so there's worming, grooming, hooves, hoof care, right? How often do you get a farrier? How often should you have that?
Their hooves grow constantly, and so a good farrier, a good hoof care is about every 6 to 8 weeks. Whether you're trimming or shoeing, that horse needs to have their hooves shaped and looked at and reshod. The shoes need to come off and the hoof needs to trim because it grows. That hoof is growing.
I can't wait to talk when we get to H for hoof care, because there's the whole barefoot horse movement.
It's gonna
go deep. I know it is. So there's the hooves, and so everybody stay tuned for that. Right, we're here every second Saturday on Big Blend Radio with our ABCs of horses. So there's the shots like we would do for any animal, any pet, and humans. You know, if you travel somewhere, get your shots.
Yes.
We do that, and then I know you mentioned teeth bloating. What is that? I know we'll get to that later in the tease, but just a quick overview, what is that?
Well, when a horse chews from side to side, they don't chew straight up and down like you and I do. So their large teeth in the back, their molars, should start out with a flat surface so they can chew properly. But when they chew side to side, they actually will create points on the sides of their teeth. And when those points are too large, they can actually puncture their inside of their gums. They can get sores, and they can't chew their food properly. So actually, a horse with extreme points on their teeth will lose weight, and their coat will become dull. So every horse chews a little differently. You should have it check your t the teeth should be checked yearly, so that your horse can chew and utilize its nutrition properly.
This is really good information. I mean, honestly, because I know you always bring up, us traveling and pet sitting as we go. And sometimes people are like, well, I don't know why this, animal, the dog, cat, parrot, you name it. Well, parrots won't go in this one, but, they go, well, they don't like this food and that food. And Nancy will go, well, this, they have a tooth problem. And you can smell a tooth problem. And I don't care how many greenies you give your dog. And that's up for debate too. If you, a lot of times you'll find that it's got to do with the tooth.
That's
And
right.
it seems that the dental care has gone out the window. Now there's a bunch of dogs that we're actually brushing teeth on
Oh,
dogs
you have to.
now.
Oh, you have to. You have to keep their
Oh,
gums
you
healthy
do it
as well.
too.
You should, ch
Okay.
yes, you should check. Well, I do with my dogs. So you should check their mouth almost weekly to see if there's tartar building up, and yes, bad breath and possibly a loose tooth. But it's important with horses. Seriously, if you don't check their teeth, and you haven't checked their teeth in 5 years, and you wonder why your horse is losing weight, why the coat is dull, gee, and why am I seeing spit wads like
Oh.
someone has spit up, excuse me, when your horse is eating, and that's left in the feeder. That means that horse can't chew their food properly, and that's why that hay is falling out of their mouth. So this is
Wow.
critical to wellness and health, and again, sores in their mouth. They might be mouthing a lot at the bit, and they're thinking, well, it's the bit in the horse's mouth, and may not be. It's going to be their teeth. I mean,
And
their mouth is
worming
going
is
to
a
be
big
sore.
deal too. Worming
Worming
it
is very
also tells
important.
you about whether what's going on with their diet, because if they're bloated or real skinny, right? That's the same thing. It could go either way, right? Depending on worms, on the type of worms.
I've always said, you need to pay attention. We'll get into feeding with when we get to the F word, but when you have to,
Oh,
whatever you feed your horse, the
we've
good
seen
F word,
that.
meaning feed, whatever you feed your horses, you need to turn around and see what's coming out the other end. Seriously, if your horse's manure is going to tell you a lot about how well they are. And you'll notice that too. If you look through that manure and all of a sudden you see little white things moving around, you're going to see some worms. Well, by the time it gets to that point, it's going to be a little late, and you're going to have to do some serious worming through probably taking your horse to the vet. But you can prevent that with worming your horse. Some veterinarians say we like you to do it 4 times a year, twice a year, at least once a year. There's worming products, paste worming products that you can use, but you don't want it to get to that serious point where you see the little white worms moving around in your horse's manure.
Well,
Because then they're
that yeah.
infested very badly, and your vet's going to have to take care of that.
Well, I okay, so I've got a weird question on this. And we're going to talk about diet next month, everyone. So the food part and everything we're going to get into, but the worming thing. So, the worm thing is weird because we used to, I wonder about flies and worms and all of that. And, just being in a different country where in South Africa and Kenya, and South Africa is where we had our horses. I mean, flies were a thing. And I look at where we move our horses' poop. Okay. It can work in gardens. You can, don't let it be where the flies will get to your horse kind of thing. And I don't know if it's true, but a fly fringe, this is another F word, the fly fringe always helped. But because I wonder about worms from flies, does that help? Is that not, is it a different, where are they getting the worms from? Is it from their food? Is it from the grass? Is it from the flies? I
It's
mean,
going to
because
be from
flies.
insects, flies and insects. And it's definitely going to be from other horses. If more than one horse is stabled
Oh.
together, that's going to come from a second source, which would be another horse in the pasture. And horses aren't always good housekeepers, meaning when we say the word housekeeping with a horse, we mean we have a horse that's more aware of where he poops, and not all horses are. You'll have some that will walk away from their feeder and their water source and poop in the same place all the time. We call them great housekeepers. They're easy to take
Yeah,
care of.
yeah.
You walk into the paddock or the stall and everything's going to be in one place. But then you have horses that are very messy, and they'll actually stop and they'll poop where they're eating. They'll turn around and poop in their water. They can poop in their feeder. So, when you have insects, you have humidity, you have flies. Yes, they will lay their eggs in the manure, and that can cause worms. But if your horse then eats in a pasture, or even throws his hay out of the feeder and eats off the ground around that manure, that's how they ingest the worms that are in the feces.
Okay,
So,
so if you put your horse manure or donkey, because they're in, that's an equine too. They're an with an ungulate, right? They're ungulates.
Yes.
If you pile your horse or donkey poo in the same place as where your horse and donkey eat, the chances of worms skyrockets.
Of course. Now, why would
Okay,
you even,
that's
now,
good.
number one, I would like to ask the question, why would you even bother to go into that paddock, pick up the poop, and leave it a place where a horse can nose through it, which he's going to do. He's going to sniff. There's a lot of things about manure. Horses actually pick up scents from a scent from the manure, which could actually tell them the gender of a horse, or how soon a horse was there, or how long ago a horse was there. Why would you even pick it up and leave it there? The idea of picking up after your horse is to give them a clean paddock, a clean environment of which they can live in, hopefully be pest-free, and be able to eat in an
Yeah.
area where that's not where the feces aren't. So it's,
And don't keep them in mud either, man.
well,
That's not good for their feet. They're
yeah,
not, that's not.
everybody tries to stay out of mud, but it's kind of hard sometimes when you have,
Yeah.
Texas just
Floods.
had 16 inches of rain in one night. Good luck with
Yeah.
keeping your horse out of that. I mean, you're going to have
Yeah.
mud. You're going to have moisture. You just do the best you can.
Okay. Whew, we kind of I thought we weren't going to go all there, but I went there and you went there. Okay, but this is the point of the show, right? So we'll go deep dive into the we'll deep dive into the horse poop in another show, but okay, so we did worming, grooming hooves. Grooming is all definitely a huge part of it. I mean, I think that's also like we talked about the last episode was, behavior and communication. Grooming is one of those things where you can start to see, oh, I see that, there's like a sore maybe or a growth or something abnormal. So that's a big deal. And grooming and tack and all of that is a whole other episode for sure. But let's go to colic because, I mean, you even see it in the old Western movies about colic and the cowboy getting out there and walking their horse and So how do you know if it's colic or worms even? Like,
Well,
oh, yeah.
let's talk about colic. Colic is a very frightening word to a horse owner. Excuse my voice again. It's almost like the big C it is for people. When we talk
Oh.
about the big C, we talk about cancer. When we talk about colic in horses, it's scary because it's still an unknown of what actually can cause it. We just know that it can be there, and when it's there, it's very distressful. It can be very life-threatening to a horse. So the best thing to do, without really knowing some of the unknowns of what causes this, and the veterinarians and the horse world are still trying to figure this out 100%, but we have some general ideas of what does cause it. The best thing for our horse owners and our new horse owners listening to us today is to recognize signs of it. Because the earlier that you recognize the signs, the earlier you're going to get help for your horse. Because you don't want colic to
That can
advance.
take your horse down. Colic
It,
can.
yes, it'll kill. It could kill a horse. The extreme cases or the extreme painful things that happen through colic, and so
Can
really,
it, I wanted to ask it when you get colic is always like I always thought that was the scariest thing. Don't let the horse get the colic, right? And why you want to keep your hay dry. And stuff like that. You don't want to give them wet, moldy hay, and you don't want all that kind of stuff that could anywhere lead to it, right?
right.
But then there's that, and then there's like a limp. Like if your horse has, gone into if there's a leg issue, that's also a scary thing. Those two aren't those the two things that you worry about on a horse, like the most is
Well, obviously, lameness is real important because
lame. That's the
they
word.
lose, yeah, they lose their function. You
Yeah.
can't, a horse, and he's going to be in pain. So actually, pain from a serious lameness could cause colic because the horse is under stress. So
Oh,
pain,
no way.
well, certainly pain can bring that on. And
Oh, that's
if
with
you've ever,
anybody human too, right?
that's
Can
right. I
make you
mean,
upset, anxiety.
it's all right. So there's different things to hopefully, common sense will tell you to take good care of your horse, make sure they have fresh water, that they don't have stagnant water and water where mosquitoes are breeding. And you're
Oh,
right,
and
you mentioned.
clean it. Don't just keep
Of course.
pouring water into the same
Oh,
place.
yes,
You when
that's
you
the
get that
trouble.
why that stop it, the slime, horses' drool goes into it, and you just keep filling it and thinking it's fine. No, I've seen troughs where there's bugs, larvae, and
You're right.
no.
Yes, that's correct.
Sorry.
That's incorrect. Yeah, you need to have fresh water. So putting a float on that water tub, you may think, oh, great, I don't have to go out and stand there and water my horse every day. You better be checking that water tub with the float. Now, I have some that have floats, but they get drained every 2 days because, yes, in the summertime, with the heat, it can create the moss. Boy, the mosquitoes just love any kind of stagnant water that isn't flowing constantly. And you need to make sure they have fresh water. But even correct, hay, you mentioned the moldy hay. You've got to know what you're feeding your horse. And we'll talk about that in the diet section, hopefully the next podcast. But so many things can happen. Overheating a horse, riding them and putting them away when they haven't cooled down correctly.
Oh.
There used to be a lot many years ago that you don't allow your hot horse to drink cold water. And they think that was starting colic. And now the veterinarians have done more research in that area. And you can let your horse drink plenty of water. It's more important to stay hydrated than it is not to let them drink. So there's just, or lack of water. Good grief. If you don't check your horse and the float breaks that you think is an automatic water, and you're out in the pasture or out in the back 40 and you haven't checked that water tub and they go without water, that could cause colic. There's just so many.
How do you do that on like when you do the Chief Joseph trail ride? I mean, this is a extended, what was it, 13 days that you do at a trip and you're out in the wilderness. How do you just hope there's a water source and then it's clean for your
Oh no.
horses?
No, my
How does
dear.
that?
We don't use the word hope. At least
Like
Christy Wood
I
doesn't
did
use
that to
that word
bug
hope.
you. I did that to
Diet.
bug you. I don't want you to
No,
get colic though.
I trust me, if I'm traveling with my horse, I'm making sure I take water from home. I'm gonna have anywhere
Really?
from 15 to 30 gallons of water that I will carry, even
Really?
getting to my ride, knowing that the ride will provide water. But what happens if I have a breakdown on the way? I may be in another state and I go to water my horse overnight at a fairground, and that horse doesn't quite like the smell of possibly the sulfur that might be in that local water. I make sure I take water from home to make sure I know my horse is going to drink.
Okay, but on the ride itself, how do you water your
On the
horse?
water itself, the trail ride is that well organized, they provide water. And usually it's water from local streams, and we have water provided. But I still don't rely on that 100%. I might do it 90% because a truck could break down and they couldn't get water to us that day. And that's happened before. So I never
Wow.
travel without with the word auxiliary water, extra water. I'm
Yeah.
always traveling with enough water that I know my horse will have water for at least a day or two in case of an emergency.
Wow. I just had to bring that up because what you're doing in with the Chief Joseph Trail and everyone, you've got to go get up with Christie's books, Hoofprints Across Time, A Trail Ride to Remember, just saying. See, segue. I did a segue there.
There we go.
I went to the stream and took a cold drink of water.
There you
But
go.
no, but that's important because I think also sometimes we just keep going on a trail ride, right, with our horses, and we'll go, well, we'll have our bottle of water, and you keep
Okay.
pushing your horse another hour. Could that do something negative for your
Well,
horse?
a horse can go with for at least several hours without water. But
Oh, okay.
our trail ride will let us know the night before, and even that morning, they tell you what's going to happen the next day. They say we may be riding 15 miles or 20 miles. We will have one or two river crossings. There'll be plenty of water to water your horse, or we're not going to have any water crossings. You might want to carry some extra water for your horse. And that's what my saddlebags carry. They'll carry my sack lunch, and I always carry extra water for my horse. I know I can go a full day almost without water. If I take one water thermos for me, I know I can sip that all day long if I have to. And my horse is my priority. That horse is working harder than I am to carry me on these mountain trails. So I make sure I carry enough water with me even daily, because we
Well,
may
what
get
a
to that river crossing and maybe there's not enough water or something's happened and it's
Or
been.
it's dry, it's a drought,
Yeah.
or yeah, anything could have
Well,
changed. But
these
what about,
trails are. These trails are pre-ridden, just to let you know. So we know ahead of time pretty much what the daily route's going to be. But there's always going to be the what ifs. So I just
Yeah.
carry extra water for my horse. I just
I
go.
carry a jug of water everywhere we go on the road. Just
There
Nancy and I
you
always have a jug
go.
of water, and we
Good.
always have a bottle of wine and peanuts. Because if you have, and M&Ms are really good too. Because then
Yes.
you've got some sustenance. But what I
That's
was going
good.
to say, and if you break down, you might as well open a bottle of wine.
Yeah,
But
there you go.
here's the thing too, when we talk about people with colic with horses, like, okay, so a horse can go for like hours, like you're saying, but every horse is different, right? Just like human beings.
Yes.
And what about just, regular trail riding where someone says, oh, you know what? I'm going to run the horse another hour, and it could be like, I watch how I walk dogs and when I walk dogs because of the heat and their paws and their, if it's too hot and if they're thicker fur and they're a bigger, heavier kind of dog or elder. Like I watch the temperatures because of the water, and then they could actually spew up water if you they like that whole thing with you were talking about the horses after a big ride and coming back and drinking cold water. That could happen just because they maybe were really just thirsty. I mean, we had that with our own human beings. Like, don't go swimming and don't be, an athlete and then come back and have a meal or something, or have a meal and then go swimming. We had all that with as kids,
Well,
don't eat lunch and go swimming. You have to wait an
right.
hour before you can swim. And that turned out to be bogus too.
Well, we're talking about
So,
common sense again, Lisa. We're talking about
oh.
horse sense and common sense. So a normal trail ride of maybe an hour or two, a horse can go out in average temperatures or maybe even warmer temperatures, maybe in the 90s, depending on where you live. It's going to be more humid, obviously, in the southern states and Texas, and it's a little drier out here in California. But you can go out for a couple of hours and know that you're going to be getting back home again, and your horse will be refreshed at that time. And you can take a bottle of water for yourself, but your horse doesn't need that for 2 hours. But you need to know your horse well enough, and you need to be fit, and you need to know your horse is fit. So why would you go out and try to trail ride the very first trail ride to start getting your horse in shape and push it to 4 hours? My gosh, both of you are going to be completely exhausted. And if you just shouldn't do that. You need to build up to going the longer miles that we have, especially on the Chief Joe ride, and knowing how long it takes for your horse to cool down, your horse is sweating, how much are they sweating? Gee, does he need to be replenished? Then when you're practicing and even conditioning to get ready for these rides, you carry extra water for your horse. So my horse knows how to drink out of actually a portable bucket that's a collapsible bucket. You can't just throw that at your horse the very first time you decide to stop for a break and show this horse this bucket with liquid in it. If they've never done that before, they're going to be cautious. They may not drink. So you need to even school your horse what a collapsible bucket means and how refreshing that water is going to be, and make sure your horse can drink it.
Well, yeah, get them
So.
introduced. And so you bring up so many good points. I mean, colic is the word today, right?
Yes.
And you talk about anxiety and different things can freak them out and lead to colic. So, I mean, it's just like human beings. We get butterflies in our stomach and sometimes can lead to oopsie. We don't want to talk about that, but it's true. People can get upset stomachs when they're nervous, and that's the same thing. So even if you're maybe taking your horse show jumping and maybe they're new at it and you are and it's your first thing, or maybe not trained it well, can going to the first event and can that kind of create colic, like a colic
Well,
atmosphere
sure.
from
There's going to be
some of you are on
stress.
horses and yeah, and maybe make sure your horse has what? Because I think water is life,
It is,
period.
but Lisa, let's go back to common sense again. Yes, you're going to show
Okay.
your horse, you're going to
So
go show
basically, today's podcast is common
them.
sense, not colic. It's common sense. I like
You're
this.
going
It's
to
a
go
C
to a
word.
horse show. You're going to go out and compete over show jumping or do whatever event that you want to do at a horse show. You just don't show up at the very first horse show, expect your horse to be able to perform with the crowd, with the announcer, with being in a trailer that long, being nervous itself, and you're nervous. You need to go to schooling shows to get your horse prepared. You need to see how your horse is going to react to all of that. So it's all about preparation. You got to prep.
Wow.
Do you have to do preparation for to compete, and you have to do preparation to be a trail rider, to be an endurance rider, to do anything you want to do and enjoy your horse. Preparation's important so that you have a normal routine and know how to read your horse's signs that he's accepting everything just fine, or is your horse under a lot of stress? If that's the case, then you better get yourself to maybe 4 or 5 schooling shows before you hit the big show that you want to compete at.
Okay, so now stress. So stress can lead to colic. So what would be some of those signs that you should recognize
Well, why don't we
in a
just
horse?
talk? Let's just talk about all the signs because
Okay.
there's so many. I'm going to talk about probably about 12 of them here, and I'll go through them that are the signs of the start of possible colic. It also, these will be signs that your horse is under some kind of stress, and then maybe a veterinarian needs to intervene, or you need to be observing this horse more closely. You're not going to go leave and go to dinner or lunch with your friends. You're going to stay and observe your horse, do the best you can to get your horse comfortable. Because if it doesn't subside, it can progress, and it's going to progress quickly. And depending on how far away from you are from your veterinarian, depending on how skilled you are as a veterinarian, possibly having some comforting drugs on hand that can help that horse relax, then you need to get a veterinarian either to your facility or get that horse loaded up and get it to a
Oh,
veterinarian as
wow.
quickly as you
And
can.
that loading a horse up is hard too. You
Well,
know, that adds more stress, right?
that's common, it's preparation. You know, if you have a horse and you've got a trailer, you need to know you can load that horse no matter what happens to get that horse to a veterinarian to get some medical help. So
Okay,
it's not
wait.
the
So
last minute.
this episode is called Colic and Common Sense.
Common
That's
sense.
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I love
Yeah.
it.
That's why you have that horse trailer parked in your driveway. It's not to go out and trailer out to the beautiful mountains to go ride, but the what ifs. So your horse has to
Well,
get to a veterinarian, get that horse trained to go into that horse trainer because time is essential when you see these signs. And let me go through these now. You want me to go ahead and read
yes.
these?
I
All right.
won't
Look.
interrupt again, except for we
Okay.
had to really work on our horses being trained to go in a trailer. And when we adopted our horses, it was a big drama because they hadn't been trailered. And Nancy was the only person who could do it because everybody wanted to freak the horse and scare the horse into the trailer. And Nancy told everyone basically, like, where to go, like, go, get
Yeah.
away, leave me alone with the horse. And she just hung out, let the horse calm down, and eventually, the horse just walked up to her for a carrot and came in. And it took an hour. But that's what Nancy's like, you know what? If that's, you've already freaked the horse out, it's gonna, you know, what you can do to freak a horse out in 2 minutes can take an hour of calming down
Well, again, it's preparation. So
and common sense.
it's well, and yeah, and it takes time. It takes time. Really, you should take more time to teach your horse how to trailer so that the horse is comfortable, not afraid. You let them have enough time to observe what the horse trailer looks like with the open doors. There's nothing wrong with bribery, with treats and carrots, and that horse may not walk in the first day. You know, I like to give my horses plenty of time. Actually, I train my weanlings or my horses that have foals, new foals, learn to go into trailers when they're 3 months old.
Oh, that's perfect.
And
That's perfect.
if you have an older horse that you've just acquired that hasn't trailered well, you can overcome all that again, but it takes time. It takes repetition, it takes patience, lots of treats, and your horse will eventually walk in. You want that trailer to be a very pleasant experience. Honestly, if I drop my lead rope 5 feet back from my trailer, throw it over my horse's neck, my horses trot into the horse trailer because they know they're going to get a treat. They love going, and it's a pleasant experience. Even when they're sick, they will load up. So you don't want to
See,
wait.
that's
You don't want to
awesome.
wait till the last minute, and your horse is showing signs of colic to now all of a sudden train your horse to go in a trailer. It's going to fight even more because it's uncomfortable. It's in
And
pain.
people do this with their pets. Like, oh, anytime they go in the car or get in a crate or a carrier, they think, oh, I'm going to the vet, so screw you, I'm not doing it. So when you go to move or do something or anything that is a vet, they freak out and they're already sick. So it catapults. Another word with a C, into a really sense of chaos. See, another
Another
C word.
C,
See, we're doing good. We're doing good here. Okay, so go
another
back to your points, but it's really true. I just wanted to bring that home. Like, there, everything is common sense preparation, like you're saying, but it is step by step. And when you have a horse, this is this giant being, this magnificent beauty, this just amazing. You've got to it. This is not a whim. This is a being,
That's
and
right.
so I'm just going back to that
But
on it
their
all.
brains are geared to be weary of any changes. They've never seen a horse trailer before. That horse is showing signs of colic. It's not going to be interested at all in going in that horse trailer. So
Okay.
it's a matter of training and exposing your horse to all the different stimuli that they're going to have in their life, and that horse trainer is going to be one of them. Let's get them trained to make that a pleasant experience. So no matter what happens, you have an emergency. You may have a fire breakout or a flood. You've
Exactly.
got to
Yep.
get those horses
Hurricanes.
loaded. Let's get that taken care of so you know that your horse will load in a trailer when the time comes and there's an emergency, and they're going to sense your panic. They're going to sense your anxiety, and that makes it, a little more difficult.
And with all these emergencies like you're talking about, it's really important that they know, because it might not even be you doing the emergency moving, that they know that it's almost like their own bedroom. Like we say that with dogs,
Yes,
like
yes,
have
yes.
them crated, learn the crate, because you don't know if you're there for the emergency. You
Right,
don't. And
yeah.
if someone has to come in and there's a crate there and they know their crate, and they end up at a shelter in a, transient space because of an emergency, like a wildfire, hurricane, floods, tornadoes, all of that stuff, which is really happening, though all of that stuff is happening across our country. You're at least they have a little bit of peace of mind, and have their toy in there, have something that, or something that they go home and they will feel calmer. And so I just, yeah, this is a good.
Yeah,
This is
my
good.
feeders are full of carrots. Those horses run into those horse trailers in my trailers because they would know they're going to get their carrots. What's
I
wrong
have a
with
dog right
that?
now we're caring for that is her treats are carrots.
Yes,
That's it.
that's some dogs like carrots.
I know.
So let me
Okay,
go
so
ahead.
go back to the, yeah, let's get back to it. Colic, everyone.
Let's stop. We're going to talk about how to recognize the signs of probably an impending issue that could turn into colic, but this is what you want to look for. And even looking out in your back paddock, if you see these symptoms, it doesn't necessarily mean colic, but it does mean that there's some distress and there's some sign that you need to pay attention to this horse, possibly get it some medical help. And the first one's going to be that it turns its head and looks at its flank. So that's looking at the area that's causing distress. They could be pawing the ground. That's a sign of stress. Kicking
Oh.
or biting at their abdomen. That's even higher, a higher stress level if they're
Oh.
biting at themselves.
Yeah.
Stretching out as if to urinate, but they don't. That's another
Oh,
problem,
yeah.
okay? That could be a blockage. That could be even kidney stones in a horse. They repeatedly lie down and get up because they're uncomfortable. Now, horses you'll see lying down, and matter of fact, when people drive by my property, because my arena's out in the road and people can see them, I have one horse that loves to go out and sunbathe. So she lies down flat out, and they must drive by and think that horse is dead. But she's got a pattern, and she loves to go out and bake in the sun after her breakfast in the morning. And it's just something that I know about this horse, and people don't have to worry about when they're driving by thinking that this is a serious thing. But repeatedly getting up and down and up and down, that is a sign. Rolling and
Oh,
violently
rolling. That
rolling.
was
So
always the one I knew. Rolling. Yeah.
some horses will roll, and they roll to scratch their back. They've just come back from a ride, and you've brushed them or you've even washed them. That's what's sometimes disappointing for riders. They've just washed their horse to make them really clean. They're still damp. Horses love to roll when they're damp. So they're going to lie down and they're going to roll. But violently rolling is constantly rolling, and you'll see more aggression actually in the rolling that they're doing. They may sit up like a dog position, which means they're trying to alleviate some of the pain. A lack of appetite, that's a big one. And that can mean a lot of different things. The horse could already have some type of a blockage, or there's something that they ingested that isn't right. But a lack of appetite is a biggie. Horses love their food. They will run for their food. They're whinny for their food. I have one horse that actually walks up to the feeder and points at it. She says,
That's
"This is
funny.
where it goes." And she waits for me to throw it in that
It's
particular
like, get
feeder.
on with it,
But
Mom.
yeah, but a lack of appetite, that's pretty serious. Putting their head down to try to drink water, but then they don't drink. That's kind of
That's
cautious.
scary.
A lack of bowel movements. Literally, you walk out to your horse's paddock and gee, I should see three or four piles. And there's none there. Or the piles are smaller. That's a little bit of an alert. The absence of digestive sounds. So I always have a stethoscope, and I've had my veterinarian teach me what to listen for and where to put that stethoscope to make sure I hear gut sounds. The absence of gut sounds is not good. That means nothing's moving in there. That's a
Oh, that's
not good.
dry. See, it's
Yeah.
about dry poo. Like that can dry up in there.
That
That's
too.
sorry. Yeah.
Right. And then sweating, profusely sweating for no reason. So if it's not a hot day and all of a sudden your horse is profusely sweating, there is definitely a problem that's starting, and you'll see that by that. The respiration, nostrils flaring, a rapid respiration, excuse me, an elevated pulse, which is actually greater than 52 beats. Depression. You can see depression in a horse. Their head is hanging, and their eyes look dull. That's something else. And then those are the signs that you need to look for. You need to take immediate action. You need to be calling your vet, letting them know the signs that you have seen, and try to just think about what happened during the day that might have brought something, brought this on. If there are no signs of anything bringing it on, those bullet point signs are something that tells you you need to load that horse up, or either call your vet and have him come out to your facility. That needs to be looked at right away.
Colic is scary because it, like you said, it goes really fast. And so, like, even like to me, I always look at animal poo. I mean, poo is everything. It is, it tells you what's going on. And if it's suddenly diarrhea versus
Oh,
solid, like all of that. And like you're
All of that.
saying, worms or, if there's corn in there, like human, no, I'm kidding. But I have to get, sorry, childish. But no, actually, it's really, really true. And if you have to be observant of your animal, and that's why I went to, like, if you're stabling your horse, are they being that observant? That's the important thing. They should know if there's, like, if there's no poo in the stall at night, there's something wrong. I mean, I don't know an animal that doesn't poo in the middle of the night
Right.
in the
So you,
stall.
so the people responsible for that, the boarding stable people, need to be, you need to research, go talk to them, go look at the facility, make sure that you give them a list of things you want to watch out for, and that they say, yes, we look for all of these things, we take care of all this, or we line up the vet to come out and do the yearly worming. That's fine. You need to make sure that they're going to give your horse the best care. That's what you're paying for. But you need to go screen the place you're going to board. Make sure, get some references. Nothing wrong with asking for references.
And go out there. Don't just have a
Well, of
horse and
course.
visit it once a month.
Of course.
You know what I mean? You know that happens, right? That
Now
people
that,
just,
yes, but you might be, they might be a retirement facility, so sometimes people don't visit their horses as often because they're there to retire. But still, that horse needs the care of the boarding facility to make sure that horse on a daily basis is okay, whether he
So
can make it out there or not.
the pressure, like you're saying, the stethoscope, I'm about to do that with a dog, like literally, and watch their blood pressure and their pressure, like their heartbeat rate and stuff like that. When, and so that tells you, I mean, it's kind of like, you've got to think about it like how a human acts. When we're upset with the stomach, we start getting weird. We start stretching. If we got gas, we know we're
Right.
starting to like get
I
that bubble
guarantee
out.
your blood pressure is going to go up because of the stress. So that's why you check your horse's pulse rate. You've
Ah,
got
so the
to.
blood pressure is the indicator. Oh, we got to put you on a show with Dr. Jackie. We can have a heart health conversation between horse and human, but it's true. Your blood pressure goes up whenever there's an incident, and that's why a lot of people are diagnosed with blood pressure in this country and around the world. And it will be one incident and they end up with blood pressure, high blood pressure. You've got high blood pressure, but it could just be one incident, right?
Could be.
It could be. It could be. I'm not saying
Could
I'm not a
be.
doctor. I don't know anything. But that's the thing. This is really good information, and it's about, again, being observant with your horse and really understanding their lifestyle. Anybody with a any pet in your life, it's the same thing, Christy. I think, it's
Right, so
just,
you, so one more thing I just want to touch on is that
yeah.
you need to be a good observer. So having a horse means, again, observing their natural, I mean their regular habits of how they eat, how they lie down, how they consume, what the manure looks like, because you need to report to your veterinarian. He's going to ask you all this on the phone, and he's going to want to know your horse's past medical history, or what are behavior signs, why is your horse different, and you need to really articulate everything that you're observing with your horse. So don't think it's foolish to say, gee, my horse looks depressed. No, there's a really truly a horse can look depressed. And so that's a, one of the first signs, whether he's biting at his belly or not, all of a sudden your horse is moody, has walked away from its hay, is now lying down and not feeling well or starting to sweat. You need to call that veterinarian and explain all of that to him, and he'll say, all right, you need to get the horse down here, or we need to come see you. Maybe you have to walk your horse. If this horse is rolling a lot, you need to get the horse up
Yeah, they're rolling.
walking so they don't roll, because they have an incredibly lengthy intestinal tract. And what happens when they're in pain and they roll too much, they can actually twist their gut by over rolling or rolling strenuously, like I talked about. And once that gut gets twisted, you've actually cut off the blood supply, and that's basically one of the killers of a horse, is severe colic, where they lose,
Well, we've
which
had
is an issue
horses
in the
on the
intestines.
property back in South Africa that started that, and we were like knew it, and we just started walking them. Is that an old school thing, or is that still something to do that you can do
It's
before a
still
vet
something to
comes?
do. It's still something you need to do. If that horse is lying down a lot and getting up and down and up and down, you need to get a halter on him and a lead rope, and you start walking.
Yeah, there's horses that will go out there. I mean, any horse, like especially in summer, we had horse flies and stuff that really hurt. And so they would roll in dirt or whatever to kind of ease their skin because they itched
You're
and
right.
they stung. So there's that, right? Then there's rolling, like if we'd ride on the beach, the horses want to go in the waves and you're screwed. You need to know if your horse is going to go there because like
They like to
that
roll in the
can be met.
water. Yes.
They love to roll in the water, and we had you had to know your horse and and you better get off. And there goes your saddle. I'm just saying that you may have spent thousands of dollars on that saddle, so you better know. But I wanted to go back to so recognizing that, okay, if they're rolling and everything, understand that there's a difference in rolling, walk them, observe them. So just going back to those points and knowing, what would it be paranoid to have a journal about your horse's
Not at
health?
all. Not at all. I have records, but it's general records of when I've wormed and when they've gotten their shots. They can run a reaction even to a shot after even the veterinarian gives a shot. They can come home, and some horses can run a reaction. So just
Yeah,
observe.
like humans. Yeah.
Observing your horse, that's the biggest thing. This horse is your partner and part of your family as well. So you need to observe their natural habits, their regular habits that they have. And when something deviates, it's an alert. When something changes, horses, we have a saying, and with people too, that they wear their feelings on their sleeve. You're going to see their distress. They're uncomfortable. They're not feeling well. They're never going to hide that, because they don't want their owner to be worried about it. The horses don't think that way. They're going to let you know something's not right. So
Well,
you've got to be observant enough to see that.
I just bring this up because I know we also have a ranching community that listens to our shows. And there's some great old school ranching folks who are cattle people that actually still uses horses,
Yes,
and they're
good.
few and far between, but they basically their horses are everything to them. That's
Well, of course.
it's the same thing as like your cattle, like you take care of your horse, they're going to take care of you, and they're going to take care of your cattle, and you're going to round them up. And the cattle, you're going to have better meat if you round them up by horse than, motorized most of the time. I'm not the cattle person, but from the interviews we've done over the past, that's what I've learned. That, it's kind of more of a natural way, And as we get digitized and everything, people are starting to do all these kind of motorized things around horses. And so if you're going to do that, or animals and cattle and all that, you've got to teach them. I love that you said about bringing the foals and the fillies and getting them to understand the trailer early, because then it's normal and natural and fun. It's like, ooh, it's another experience. Yay. That's a very cool thing
Well,
to do is
Lisa,
to,
let's talk this really quick about, because you just mentioned the cowboys, and it's wonderful that they're still, yes, those horses have to
C
work for
word,
them.
cowboys.
Cowboys, they have to use these horses to go gather the cattle in places that you can't get a Jeep or you can't go anywhere else. So they're going to take good care of their horses, because their horses are working for them and they're helping them earn their living. So, if common sense goes back to this again, that if you have a vehicle, let's say you're driving your truck and you never do an oil change, you never check to see. I mean, you have to put gas in it, so you definitely feed a horse, but there's so many other things about maintaining your horse's well-being so that a horse can still perform and you can enjoy them as a partner and as part of your family. If you never put oil in that truck, that engine's going to sear up someday and you're never going to get anywhere, are you? You'll be calling
Yeah.
AAA because you're broken down the side of the road. Unless you
No.
take care of your horse with the feeding and the worming and the teeth floating and giving them yearly shocks to protect them and keep them healthy, same thing's going to happen to your horse.
But this, I love that we're talking about this because there's a lot of care that goes into horsemanship, right?
Yes.
And having a horse, like I'm saying, these are giant beings. It's like going from a little mini car, like a little teeny thing, to all the, those little ones on the road, those little teeny things,
Yep.
to like the biggest SUV truck thing, right? And so, like, your vet bills will be bigger. Horse care is not cheap. And
No.
so people shouldn't get into horsemanship and own a horse unless they can
Are
actually
prepared.
do it.
Right.
That's, I think it's really because bad situations come out of that. You need to
Yes.
be prepared. Don't
Yes.
buy an SUV if you can't afford the bills versus a car. Don't buy a big truck if you can't afford those
Yeah, but
things
Lisa,
that come with that.
this is even more important than the example of a car. This is a living, breathing animal.
Exactly, they're a magnificent being.
That's right.
Okay.
This it's relying on you. You've taken it out of its natural element to find the food it needs and to travel over thousands of acres to find the grass and everything that they need. You've taken them into a paddock now. You've taken that away from them, but you want to take good care of them. We'll get into that when we talk about feeding. But you've
Oh,
got to take
yes.
care of this living, breathing animal, and it's your responsibility, you know. God really gave us these animals as a blessing.
Oh,
These are,
okay.
and you have to be a good steward of what I believe God has given you. That's like the earth. You take good care of your earth. You water your plants. You put oil in your truck, and you take care of these horses.
Listen, I travel in a RAV4 across the country, and if I don't talk to my girl, she's one. Like, if I have to get, I don't want to get rid of her. She's family. I know that's weird. She's not an animal, but she's family, and I will cry. I will be bawling. That will be like a grievance. It's going to be terrible. But I want to go this in closing, because we're still in the C word. Can I bring up the word communication
Yes.
and care again? So we have a friend, Shelley Wizen, who's a transformational life coach who's on our show every first Sunday. And she was on, the Sunday just before you, and she was talking about embracing self-care and mother being a mother of yourself. We've got to nurture ourselves because everybody
Yes.
comes from a different background. And she just went to an experience in Ramona, California, and she says, "Do you know anything about horses?" I'm like, "Well, why, yes, a little." And we have a horse show, ABCs of Horses, And she went to an experience that I thought I wanted to bring up with you about this. It's another lady who's also a life coach, and she's got horses. Ramona's a big horse town. It's always been a horse
Yes.
town, and in San Diego County, and that's where we used to live out there. And she went out to the horses, and this lady brings people to horses because some people are, there's a fear factor. That communication thing. So we're still
Yes.
in the C word, right? Communication. And she taught them how to, how you can get close to a horse and breathe together, that breathing through the nose. And she said, after that, she says, "Lisa, I need a cigarette." Like, that was the most life-changing thing for her to have that breathing, and how the horse. Then one of the horses went to her friend and the horse put her head on the person's shoulder. And when they do that, and then they do the real drop where they actually gave you the weight, and it's heavy. That means there's that trust.
Yes.
And it changed the humans. These horses changed the humans and made them feel better about themselves. And so the lady went around as a life coaching thing and said, "Look at your horse." They got to know the horse and learn about horses because there's, like I said, some people are nervous, but you wouldn't do it really if you didn't have a curiosity or want to, right? And made them write down the horse's name and five things they loved about the horse. And from this interaction, they've got to feed them, they got to pet them, groom them a little bit, and have that. It wasn't writing, it wasn't any of that. It was just communication between you and an animal. And they wrote down the horse's name and five things they loved. And then the lady goes, the coach goes, well, now why don't you just turn around and it can be your name? Maybe you're seeing yourself through this. What do you think of that as an equestrian? Like, don't you think we do learn from horses that they are humbling and then also empowering in a way, not as ego empowering, as in they make you feel better too, having them on your side?
Well, we touched on this in our letter B in our last podcast about the behavior and studying your horse. And your horse will reflect what you are, but you also need to observe what they are. So there's a partnership that goes on. Yes, if people need to take the time to get to know the animal that they have, even through riding lessons, we teach body behavior, so they can read how the horse is reacting to even your grooming session. And we talked about that in B. We covered that quite a bit in B. So yes, there's an awful lot you can learn from your horses, and partner with this horse and just observe their world and they observe your world. And then there's a partnership. There's really a connection. Horses love to connect with people, but you've got to make the time to do that. It isn't something that's done quickly. You can't do it in 5 minutes. You have to take a half an hour. You may take a chair and sit out there by the arena and watch your horse in the paddock or by the paddock and observe
They
them.
know you're there. They know you're there.
That's right. And they'll come up and they'll inquire and they'll see what you're all about. And there's just a wonderful connection that can happen. I'm blessed I get to live this every day. But I take the
Yeah.
time to, I get the time, I take the
You know I'm a
time.
little jealous, right? You know.
Well, I've got another chair sitting right next to mine, so you can come join me
Well,
anytime.
we'll see you next time we're in California for sure. Because honestly, I think that is an interesting exercise this woman did, and it was all about the horse. So she made everyone dedicated to the horse, and it was a slow time. Like you're saying, take
Good.
time.
Take
And
time.
the horses were just like observing them, and they're observing each other and
Yes.
connecting and focusing on connecting. And I think sometimes animals give back to us more than what we give them in some ways. Like we give, you know, they just they have they'll judge you if you're scared or you come into a stable and you're aggro. That's not gonna, if you're
Let me tell you,
angry,
Lisa,
that's not gonna happen.
let me tell you, they're great healers. They're
That's
healers.
what this woman
They
said. This,
truly are. They are.
I think this is a ranch with retired horses, you know what I mean? Like they're out to pasture, like you're saying. And I think it's really cool to have those experience, those human horse connections. And
Yes.
I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, she was just like, this was the most amazing experience. I'm like, oh my gosh,
Wonderful.
you know, it made her, she was giddy.
But
Like,
what did people say a long time ago? They said, take the time to stop and smell the roses. Who does that anymore? Who really
Well, take
stops?
the time to go look at your horse's
That's
poop.
right. You need that, well, and everything else about them. Find out
And
their normal
the
habits.
smell of the poop. I'm going to go there because you said smell the roses. The poop, if it has that fresh smell versus not, you can tell the difference. Like,
Yes.
honestly, I could tell the difference between our horse's poop if something was right or wrong. And the pee, just like they say, look at our own pee,
Oh
human
gosh.
pee. Sorry, is that true? It's
That's
true. It's
true.
going to.
Color and odor. You betcha.
All right. Well,
That's good.
Christy, it's always fun talking about poo and horses and with you. Well, next month, everyone, you know, we're here every second Saturday with Christy. And of course, you've got to go to her website too, and we're going to get to that. But you know what? We're going to be doing diets. So yeah, I am so fascinated about this because can we give a horse too many apples? I mean, like, what about the hay? What? Yeah. This is huge. Does one horse get more than the other that's performing? You know,
Anything could be toxic if you indulge it a little too much. Anything in your
yeah.
own human body. So you've got to be careful with those apples. Yes, they're a wonderful treat, but let's not pour a whole truckload in front of your horse, or then you'll see signs of colic and you'll have to call your vet.
And we're seeing
Oh,
animals with diabetes now, so I'm just
it's
saying.
sad. Yeah, that's sad.
So that's the other thing. So D is for diet. That's next month. Thank you so much, Christy.
Thank you, Lisa. It was enjoyable every time.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's ABCs of Horses featuring Christy Wood. You can keep up with Christy and learn more about her services and her books by going to her website, wdnhorse.com. Keep up with Big Blend Radio at bigblendradio.com.